Everyone, welcome to Adoption Adventures. Hope you're all doing well. So this week I had a message from a listener, and they was telling me some really exciting news about their story and their journey, and they was letting me know that within their journey they had always been looking at sort of a younger child, but they'd just been shown a profile of an older child, and they was thinking more about this and the implications that this would have on their family. And we were just exchanging some messages on this, and it was a really, really sort of enjoyable thread actually. But something that came out of this was a sort of a worry or a concern of some of the things that we as parents will miss out on. And this got me thinking that actually it's not a subject that I've covered in the past. So here we are. This is it. This is the one. So that was a huge fear of mine as well, when we were sort of first coming into the process, like I've talked about before. You know, I wanted to adopt a much younger child, for several reasons. One being, you know, younger means less trauma, so much easier for me to manage. Younger means that I can mould them into my very own little creation, a little mini me. And the other reason was sort of, I suppose, I think this is the wrong word, but you know me, kind of a selfish reason. I wanted all of the sort of all of those things that I'd listed for myself as to what I was looking forward to about being a parent. You know, if I, prior to becoming a parent, if I had written down a list of all of the things that I really, really wanted and was really excited about doing as a parent, it would have been things like a bedtime routine, getting my son, because it was always going to be a son, getting my son dressed, sort of bath times, story times, you know, tucked up in bed and just sort of reading and getting all cozy with each other, cuddles, all of these things. And I was, you know, they all would have been featured heavily on my list of things that I was really kind of excited about being a parent. And then when we started looking at taking our little dude, it became apparent he was that much older. And I had my niece, cousin C, who we've met in previous episodes, who was pretty much a similar age, pretty much the same age as little dude. So I had experience and knowledge of children of that age, but regardless of that, for whatever reason, in my head, even though I had a child in our family, in our close-knit family that was of the same age, for some reason, I aged little dude probably about 4 to 10 years more. So I got it into my head that when we met him, he was going to be super tall and like his voice would have broken and pretty much grown a beard. He's ready to move off to college, say goodbye. But I'd got it into my head that he was going to be that much older and that much more mature and settled in his ways. And as a result, I would miss out on all of these magical moments that I figured defined a parent. And I'll be honest, that really scared me. And that was one of the things that actually scared me most of all. The two things that sort of petrified me throughout the process was, one, when to tell, what to tell, sort of like telling our children their stories. That scared the bejesus out of me. And then two, what if they've grown up so much that you can't have any influences, you can't make any differences, and they don't need you as much. Now, that may be that it was sort of my personal stuff, the sort of like incessant need to be needed, the desire to be important, you know, all of these factors. But it did really, really make me nervous and make me worried that I was going to miss out on so many of these different things. I don't think that it was enough to make me say, well, I definitely can't do this. But I think that that was a factor that if you would have asked me at that time, is there anything holding you back from taking on Little Dude? That probably would have been quite high up on my list. I may not have even had a particularly long list, but that would have been there. And it took me a while to acknowledge that and sort of see that in myself as well. But with that in mind, I sort of kind of talked myself into saying, well, you know what, it is what it is. All of the other factors are going to be magical and wonderful, and that's okay. So, okay, I'm not going to get my sort of quote-unquote dream child, dream family, dream parental opportunity, but you know what, I'm still going to have a wonderful time of it, and I can't wait. So I'll sacrifice these things in lieu of getting all of the others. So I kind of made my peace with it. And what I found really, really incredible was the sort of the factors that I hadn't thought about, and the things that I had missed in my sort of logic. And what that meant was, yes, I had missed them, but so had Little Dude. Now, all of those things that I listed, all of those things that I was excited about doing, he was getting all of those things with his foster family, and he was getting so much love, care and affection. It was unreal. And they were meeting all of those needs, all of the physical needs, emotional needs, absolutely everything. And they was sort of working so hard to create such a wonderfully beautiful young man. And they were delivering every single part of parenting. But it wasn't me. And when Little Dude was adopted by Dad and I, he had missed out on all of those experiences with us. And with our children, they want that. They want an abundance of it. They have an internal sort of system that lets them know that this is something that they need. And it doesn't matter how much of that love, care and affection that he got from the foster family. This was his new family, and he was settling in with his new family, and he needed to still get those emotional boxes ticked. So he opened up his world, because let's be honest, all of those things that I've listed, they're all things that if we think about it, they actually make us feel really quite nice, because it means that someone's caring for us. So all of those things on my list, I was able to go back and do. Because with our children, they will regress. They will cease to be the age that they are, and they will become toddlers in many ways, not sort of in excessive amounts of time, but you watch it, you observe it, you watch them drop down to being a toddler, and demonstrate very toddler-esque needs, very basic needs. And they ask us indirectly to fulfill those needs. They ask us for those sensory experiences. So the whole concept of being able to have bath time and have that security, have times where you're kind of cuddling up and snuggling up together and you're swaddled in the bed whilst you're having a story read. This is a sensory experience that is going to fill us up with so many positive emotions. These are all things that our children are so desperate for, and they're so unconsciously aware that they've missed it and they've missed out on this. If it's even if it's one day, they've missed it and they want it and they desperately need it. And when I walked into Little Dude's foster home, I was expecting pretty much a grown man to greet me, but instead this tiny person burst through the door, smiling from ear to ear, shouting the word boo, and just pleading with us with his eyes to just be loved and to just take him on a roller coaster of emotions and have a wonderful time together. These were emotions that he wanted, these were things that he needed in his world. And it's been so incredible. Now, over the course of the years, particularly in the early stages, in the early days, we would have so many experiences where Little Dude would be playing and would be normal, like, I say normal, what on earth that means, but he would just be a standard, atypical 7-year-old boy. And then all of a sudden, something would happen. More times than not, you wouldn't have any clue as to what happened. But he would regress down, and he would, his body language would change, his facial features would change, his voice structure, the tone of his voice, absolutely everything would change down, and he would regress down to being a toddler. And he would let us know that he was in need of something emotional. And it was incredible to observe. And his face is so weird. It doesn't matter how many times I've tried to explain this in words, I don't think I ever find the right words to make this sort of clear. But his face changed, and it's almost like the facial structure changed to become a toddler's. And it's absolutely bizarre to observe, but it's fascinating as well. But every single one of those items on my wish list, every single one of them, I've been back and I've ticked those boxes countless times, not just once or twice. We're talking in the hundreds of times, because he had missed it with us, and he desperately wanted it with us. So all of these things that I thought, I'm never going to be able to do, like story time. We used to love story time. We used to absolutely adore, sort of, for the first good few years, probably right up until he was sort of 10, 11, we would still go and read a story in bed for 20, 30 minutes each night, because it was great fun. It was lovely. It was a wonderful experience. There were times whereby, sort of particularly, I'm just thinking of all of the different times when he needed me to get him dressed or wanted to do bath times, cuddles and all things like this. And it's just all of these emotions flooding me because of all of the amount of times that it was a requirement on his part, and it was just beautiful. So for those of you that are thinking about this, you know, what I would urge you to understand is almost ignore the age that you're looking at, and maybe even consider taking 3 years off of it. Because even though Little Dude, when we met him, of course he was almost 7, and for a lot of the time he presented as a 7-year-old, but for a big chunk of the time as well, he presented him so much younger. And like I say, I had it in my head that he was just going to be like this fully fledged adult, but actually, he was so young, and I mean this not as an insult, but he was so immature. Like I said, I don't mean that in an insult and sort of a digging out. It was more, he was just so young and young at heart, and he wanted to just enjoy being young, and we were able to give that gift to him, and you can do that too. There's caveats to this sort of form of regression, and the caveats are our children will regress and they will test it. Now we sort of said to little dude, you know, if you need anything, you just crack on and you do it. When we were going through our preparation training, we were told about I think it was a little girl that had gone past a like a Babies R Us or something and had seen either a dummy or a bottle and had asked her mum if she could have it. And her mum was like, yeah, not a problem, let's do it. And she got it. I think it was a dummy. And when she was at home, sort of just before going to bed, she would just suckle on the dummy for 5-10 minutes. And it was a pacifier. It was just something to soothe her. And she would just use that. But then, in the same breath, when she would go for sleepovers at her friend's house, she wouldn't take it with her. Because she knew, instinctively and internally, that actually, this might not get the right reaction from my friendship group, so I won't do that. I'll play it safe, and I'll play it safe on regressing in front of the right people. You know, we had a couple of experiences. So one experience that we had was, I think it was within the first sort of year, roughly. And each day when little dude would finish school, I would be sort of waiting in the playground for him, and the teachers would sort of take them to the sort of the door, and then they would open the door and look out, find you, point you out to the child, and the child could then be released. And every single day, without fail, little dude, as soon as he'd see me, his eyes would light up, his face would light up, and he would sprint across the playground. I would sprint too, arms akimbo, and we would sort of embrace and have a really lovely time. Well, there was one particular day where, as he came out of school, all of his body language was off. His shoulders were slumped. He smiled, but there was a tinge of something that just wasn't him. So instead, what I did is I sort of compensated for what he couldn't bring to that. And instead, I sprinted faster and held my arms wider and smiled bigger. Picked him up and swung him around and told him how much I loved him and said, you know, I've missed you so much. I've been thinking about you all day. And he responded really nicely to this. But what I then did is I sort of said to him, I said, you know what, mate? I said, I'll be honest with you. I've just had a really, really tough day. It's been really, really difficult. I said, so I'm afraid I've got to do something that's going to embarrass you. He was like, oh, what, Daddy? I said, I'm afraid I'm going to have to cuddle carry you all the way out of school. And he sort of did that preteen thing of, oh, okay. But he then buried his head into my neck. And he nestled himself into me, and everything about, he just became so loose and so comfortable. And I didn't talk, I didn't ask him about his day, because I knew that he might not be able to tell me what it was that was bothering him. But we just cuddled and we walked. Now, as we did this, we walked past another parent who felt that it would be appropriate to voice their humour at this situation and call out and say, oh, what's wrong with little dude? Why is he acting like a baby? Surely he should be walking right now. As this comment was sort of passed, little dude, he went completely tight and he really locked up, and he was clearly, like, from his body language, he was clearly so uncomfortable by this comment because he felt embarrassed. So all I did was just respond and went, yeah, no, do you know what, it's all me. He keeps trying to get down and I won't let him. I've insisted that I cuddle him. I said, I've had such a bad day and he's the only one that can make it better because he's just a legend. And I just put all the ownership on me. And the parent was gone as soon as, like, no quicker than he got there, he was gone. And little dude relaxed again. But that was a moment where he was regressing. He was regressing down to a toddler that just wasn't feeling right, but couldn't quite say what was feeling wrong. So it was my job to just do it for him. Another experience that we had was, again, roughly a year into the placement. We had gone to a restaurant with a member of my family who struggles with an awful lot of this sort of thing, emotions. He just struggles a lot to understand that people might feel things. but anyway, we went out to dinner, and as we were sat at the table, little dude sort of, we were waiting, and little dude called over and said, his food was placed in front of me. He said, oh, daddy, could you feed me? Now, before I could respond, this family member called over and expressed how that was a ridiculous notion. Don't be so stupid. You're not a baby. You sit where you're sat. And again, I watched little dude just break down, and he was so uncomfortable and he was so embarrassed by that. But the problem was, this other person, they weren't really thinking about the whole entire picture. They weren't thinking about the bigger image of what was going on. So, because we'd gone on the training and because we knew little dude as well as we did, with Reddy's report and all of these factors, we had a much stronger stance on understanding the situation. I was looking around when little dude asked if I would feed him. I was looking around at all of the other factors. We were in a busy environment. There were people dotted around all over the place, and everyone was eating something different. Little dude joined our family with a food issue and food related concerns. So he's looking around, he's seeing all of these different plates of all of these different foods. He knows what he's got, but he also sees everyone's got something different. Add it to that, you've got these random people that keep walking around to your to different tables and picking up the plates. And sometimes those plates have got food on them, but these people are still picking them up and walking away with them. If you look at all of these factors, that's actually quite a scary environment for a little person that's trying to have big feelings. So when little dude says to us, would you feed me? What he's actually saying is, I'm feeling really uncomfortable, but I can't quite put my finger on it. Could you please help me? So what we do, what our job is, it's to respond, and it's to respond properly and effectively and therapeutically and say yes. We have to silence society, we have to ignore how it might feel, and we have to just go with it, because it's what our children need, and it's why we want to be parents. We want to give our children safety, security, comfort and strength, this is one of those moments. So this particular family member was very uncomfortable when I became very obnoxious and very loud and yelled across the table for little dude to come and sit on daddy's lap. And as he did, I start feeding him, and we were having so much fun with it. He was sort of asking that I would be a train and that the train would derail, and there was a helicopter that crashed, a boat that Jaws got, all of these different things, but all of the while I was holding little dude, and my left hand was just resting on his back along his spine and just sort of applying pleasant pressure whilst I'm feeding him. And all the while, whilst we're having these laughs, jokes and giggles, we are locked in eyes. And what I'm doing is I'm recreating the nursing mother. I'm recreating that therapeutic moment of the nursing mother. I may have even spoke about this story in the Theraplay episode. So those of you that have got deja vu, you may have heard it before. But these are those moments where he had regressed and he needed something. So I was able to be there for him. Regression is a big part of our children. It's a big part of the world of adoption. What I think is important is being there for them, even when it's tough and even when it's difficult. Just be there, meet those needs, because that can actually make such a huge, huge difference in their world. I've seen what happens when members of my family have been there to support this and actually met those needs. As a result, little dude has got some incredible relationships with these people, because they have been there to meet all of his needs, not just a select few. I've seen other people that haven't been able to meet those needs, and as a result, little dude's relationship with them is quite strained. So my advice is always, if our kids want to go there, go there. When in the early days there was two different things that we struggled with, for me it was baby talk. If ever someone who is not a baby does baby talking, I literally, to me, that is nails down blackboard. I cannot stand it. It is horrendous. But little dude would still do it. Now if dad was around when little dude would regress and do baby talk, dad would step in and he would do all that he needed to do to just manage that whilst I went and screamed into a pillow. And then on the other hand, those of you that have sort of spent some time with toddlers, you'll find that if you do a fun experience with them and they have a lot of fun with it, the likelihood is they're going to say again, because they've enjoyed it that much that they want to recreate that emotion exactly. And they will do that again and again and again and again and again. They just don't tire. Dad really struggled with that. He would look at it and go, oh, well, we've done it once. I don't understand why we need to do this again. It makes no sense. So in the same way, if ever I were in the other room and I hear again, I would sort of dart into the room and go, what did we do the first time? I'd get the lowdown and go, I'll do it, and send Dad on his merry way. Obviously, if either one of us were on our own and the other one wasn't around to be able to support and sort of take the lead on that, we would have just gone with it. But they were our things that we owned up and said, struggling with this. So the other one just picked up the slack. But it's one of those things whereby we've got to get our own head around it, and we've got to be our honest self with it. We've got to be able to be strong enough to actually say, right, you know, I can cope with this, but I can't cope with that. I'm struggling with this, but that doesn't really bother me. A big thing is what I think a lot of people will struggle with is the big wide world, because there are a lot of these behaviours that we might see and think, oh, actually I'm a bit embarrassed if somebody saw me doing this. For a lot of it, my view is kind of find a way to silence society, and realize that those people that you're stressed out about and worried about and like embarrassed that you might look a bit weird, chances are these are strangers, you're never going to see them again, so who cares? And if it's not a stranger, then it's someone that knows you. And if it's someone that knows you, you should have the confidence to say to them, this is something that my child needs. And if it's a problem to you, I'd ask you to just get out of the way. Harsh as that may sound, that's the reality that I think that we live in. We've seen, over the years, we've seen that when a seven-year-old regresses, society's all right with that. They can kind of accept sort of, if a four-year-old acts like a toddler, nobody cares. If a seven-year-old acts like a toddler, people start to maybe raise an eyebrow or two. When an 11-year-old does it, it starts to be quite a problem. Now we've got a 15-and-a-half-year-old who I keep calling little dude, but it's almost like I'm not allowed to anymore. That kid is so tall, it's ridiculous. But when a 15-year-old regresses, society really struggles with that. But in these trying times, it's not uncommon to see a little bit of regression in little dude. Not to the same extent that it was when he was seven, but there have been times, time doesn't actually mean anything at the moment, but probably about 6 months ago, we were mucking about and having a laugh and a giggle, and little dude dropped to the floor and clung to my leg and asked me to just walk. Now, this was something that we used to do on an almost daily basis. He would do like the koala bear hug, and I would just see how high I could lift him off of the ground. Well, he did this again, and he held on to me, and he looked up at me, and again, his face turned into the feature of a toddler. And at that moment, he had a need. Now, I couldn't lift him anymore, but we could certainly walk around. Last week, as I was sort of putting him to bed, he kind of sort of I've tried to linger and sort of stay for a little bit and maybe get a cuddle out of him recently, and I get nothing. So I kind of leaned in, gave him a cuddle, and was like, all right, good night, see you in the morning. And he was like, oh, so you're not staying? So I was like, well, of course I can stay. So, you know, I might have wanted to have spoken to you. So I laid on the bed and we just sat talking for sort of 5-10 minutes. It was about nothing and everything, you know. It was he was trying to sort of make some jokes. He was trying to talk inappropriately. So young ones in the room at the moment, I do apologize. He was talking about boobs and sex. But we then had a laugh, we had a giggle. He moved himself so he was closer to me. He wasn't hugging me, but he was doing everything he could to ensure that there was pretty much no space between us. It was mild regression, and it was just mild moments of him just letting me know, I just need to touch base. I just need to let you know that I'm just feeling a bit uncomfortable at the moment. Can you please be there for me? That's all our kids do. They just let us know that they're just feeling it. Can we just be there for them? And that's what we've got to do. That's our role, to just meet that call. So the whole sort of subject of this is, think of our kids as much younger. Think toddler. When you look at the age on the profile, realise that you're probably at least 2 years, that number is at least 2 years too high for the majority of the time to start with. All of those experiences that you think you're going to miss, I can pretty much guarantee you won't miss any of them, because our kids want them too. And finally, silence society, accept regression, embrace regression, enjoy it, be a big kid. It's great fun. But give these kids the time where they can be just big kids. I think it's fair to say, even if they missed a day of childhood, that's too much. So let's find our way to give that back to them. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you as always for having a listen. I hope everyone is keeping well and keeping safe. I'll put all of our social media links in the sort of the blurb about this episode. You know where to find me. Anything that you want help, support, guidance, advice, or an episode on, you just get in touch and let me know. Until next week, when I speak to you again. All right. Thanks all. Bye.